Good morning. I'm trying to learn all my cues here, so bear with me, you know. But nice to see everybody's smiling faces on this damp but projected sunny Sunday. We love the sun. So we'll start off with some announcements. These are some good things up here I'm reading. Let's see. Linda Graves' grandson, Alec, graduated from college yesterday. And whereabouts was that? Where did he go? Michigan State. Oh. Does he have a job? Oh, good for him. He'll have a job. Amy Henderson's sister, Denise, is at Stonegate, and she's doing well. So this is another blessing. Very good. John Phillips, the son of John and Catherine Phillips. And that's all I know, but Catherine can fill us in. Thank you, Catherine. And was this a prayer concern for?
Yeah, my son John just had that surgery last Tuesday.
Okay, so keep John Phillips in your prayers, please. Congregation, please be reminded that the east driveway by Wesley Hall is to be used as a drop-off or pickup for the handicapped and those with ambulatory issues. Please do not park there unless you are transporting someone who needs the handicap door and elevator. Very important. Let's see, who has a birthday this week? Stephanie Wilkinson on the 7th, Danny Hale on the 7th. That was a popular day for babies. Michael Moore on the 8th, and Vera Nichols on the 9th. Wow, we have a lot of birthdays. Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody? Can we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you.
Anniversaries. Bill and Shelby have an anniversary on the 5th. Is that yesterday? That was Friday on Cinco de Mayo. Ooh, happy Cinco de Mayo birthday. Larry and Mary Vandywalker have a birthday on May 9th. Anybody else? Can we sing happy anniversary? Okay, I'm out of info here, and we got 2 minutes. Anybody?
Here, we just want to remind everybody that we have a ton of food downstairs, so hopefully everybody will stay whether you brought something or not. Stick around, or if you don't stay, please come back at 3 o'clock. It's very important that we get as many beers as we can. We have K-Pack, Deckerville, Stroker, and Wiggins. So John Heist will clear up a lot of questions.
Yes. And our acolytes today are Peyton and Kylie. Welcome to the Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement for our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. My name is Karen Pettis, and I'm the worship leader for this morning. The acolytes are Peyton and Kylie. Our praise song for this morning is Thou Art Worthy, page 2041. We'll sing it twice, and please stand if able. Thank you. And that was beautiful singing, by the way. It was nice. Man, you should hear it from up here. Our call to worship, I'll read the fine print, and you can read the bold print. Once we were not a people. Now we are God's people. Once we ate food that did not satisfy. Now we drink the spiritual milk of our Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Merciful God, our refuge and our strength, train our hearts on the words of your Son. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Feed our souls with your spiritual milk and build our very lives into spiritual houses that neither famine nor storm can shake the foundation of our faith. In the name of the Master Builder and the Living Stone, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening hymn is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, page 400, and we will sing this twice as well.
Be seated. And now we have our kids are going to come up and they are going to bless you with some song, I think, in song. And then we're going to have our noisy offering.
Shine, yeah.
That was a great job singing and a great job with the offering. But I think in the future, we got to step up the pace on the noisy part. Because, yeah, we got to work on that, everybody. So, our Old Testament reading today comes from Psalms 31, verses 1 through 5, and then 14 through 16. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. And now down to 14. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
We have many prayer needs on our hearts this morning, and I'm sure a lot of unspoken needs in the room. And so we go to the Lord in prayer this day for all of those things that he already knows, the things that we share with him on a daily basis, for those that might be listening in and he knows your hearts. Let us bow and pray together. Living God, in times of spiritual homelessness, we long to hear Jesus' assurance that he has prepared a place for us. We yearn to be formed by the Master Builder into spiritual homes like living stones. Grant us the courage of Stephen and the confidence of Peter as we strive to be a holy priesthood. Lord, hear our hearts this day that plead for a touch from you, for those that are in need of healing, for those that are in need of strength, wisdom, courage, perseverance, that need an embrace from you, Lord. For those with uncertainties in their lives and certainly in our world. For all of those things we hear about on the news, so many different things, so many shootings. The Churchill Downs situation. So many tragedies as we listen in. So many people that are hurting, so many people that are lost. So we come to you this day, Lord Jesus, not only with thankful hearts for all that you have blessed us with, but we come with petitions, Lord, for those on behalf of those that we intercede on behalf of, Lord, just as you intercede before the throne of God on our behalf. When you went to the cross and paid the price for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for bridging that gap, for always knowing what we need, when we need it, for sending good people on our paths to encourage us, to give us a word of hope. Lord, we ask for clarification today. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your direction. We ask for clearness of mind. Lord, let our eyes be completely open to focus on you and you alone today. Let us hear the truth in your word. as we share this morning about those scriptures that have been read and those yet to be shared in this setting, let not your hearts be troubled. You tell us that over and over again, Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. So, Lord, calm our fears and ease our minds. Embrace us this day. Thank you for the many blessings already this morning as we give you thanks and all of our praise, remembering together this prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Let us share that before your throne of grace this day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. What a blessing our kids are. They bring joy into our sanctuary, do they not? Bring a smile to our face. Our scripture reading this morning from the New Testament, if you'd like to follow along, is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after you have seen me and after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. Thanks be to God. The word of God for the people of God. Let not your hearts be troubled. That's a hard one, isn't it? Something that I had put on online this week, one of my relatives wrote back, Lisa, that's a really hard thing to do. And it was about putting things in God's hands and letting him be the one in control instead of us. And I had to think, yes, it is a really, really hard thing to do. But it's something that Jesus asks of us to do, to let not our hearts be troubled. And boy, oh boy, if we look around in our lives and in our world, we have lots that could trouble us, don't we? There's just a ton of things. Too many for me to even mention in this hour span of time. Too many things that can get under our skin and worked up get us worked up about, too many things to even name. And yet Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. And as I've probably said to you numerous times, and probably other pastors have shared the same thing, we know that there's at least 365 times in Scripture that it says, do not fear. And isn't it amazing that it just coincidentally happens to be one for every day of the year? Probably not coincidence at all, right? 365 times, do not fear, because God knew that within every day there would be a lot of things that we could fear about if we would let ourselves. Don't think the disciples were isolated from any of that. As our Lord looked at these men before him, he knew what was going on in their minds and their hearts, how disturbed and upset that they were, and what was causing their turmoil. He knew all of it. He knew the remedy as well for their anxieties. Perhaps there are many of us who are suffering from the same kind of afflictions as these disciples. Troubled hearts, fear-filled hearts, upset, disturbed hearts, agitated hearts, probably because of the circumstances that we live in, probably because of our caring hearts for the world many times. Our Lord knew that these men were afraid of what was coming. They were afraid of death. They were afraid that they, with him, were going to be executed. They knew of the opposition that had developed against them in Jerusalem. They knew they were in danger, and so their hearts were deeply troubled as they gathered here with him. But more than just that physical danger to themselves, they were aware of Jesus' words about leaving them. And I liken it this morning. Have you ever seen any of those shows on TV where somebody's trying to come down the courthouse steps or go up the courthouse steps, and usually they're not doing it by themselves? Someone's got their arm around them, shielding them from all of this crowd that's closing in, shouting questions and responses and accusations and you name it. And yet there's this person guiding them through this path, pushing back the media, pushing back whatever is in the pathway. You can visualize that. And I visualize this morning that the Lord has his arm around us just like that, helping us to forge our way through this crowd of stuff in our lives, all the chaos and all the agitation and all of the conflict and all of the things that can close in on our pathway. All of those things that are trying to get at us, that are trying to just throw themselves in our path. And yet, the Lord has his arm around us. And as we talked about last week, not in guidance, but guiding. He's guiding our path. He's not a very distant person. He's an ever-present person. I heard somebody refer to that this week as someone visiting us. He was visiting us. No, he's not visiting us. He's here to stay. He's here to stay in your life, and he's here to stay in mine. Whether we're sitting in this beautiful atmosphere, this safe place, this God-filled place, this beautiful place, or whether we're out in the world where we got all these things thrown at us, we've got illness, we've got sickness, we've got doctor appointments, we have uncertainties, we have people we love that are in distress, we've got the weight of the world out there. No, God isn't visiting. He's here with us. And he's got his arm around you right now, and he's trying to guide you, and he's trying to help you and let you know that you are not alone. You are not walking by yourself, that we're walking together. And he's here for you, just like he's here for me. He's trying to let our ears know, let not your hearts be troubled. no matter what somebody's shouting in your face, no matter what somebody's coaxing you to do. Come on, it'll be all right. I've had some people tell me already this morning of a couple of kind of disturbing, I'm going to call them predator phone calls that are out there. We can let those kinds of things really scare us. And they're unsettling and they're unnerving. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten any of those phone calls or maybe a letter in the mail, a scam, that for a minute your heart kind of skips a beat and think, really? And then you realize it's probably just a scam. The world filters in, and we hear about all these shootings. We hear about what was happening, as I mentioned in my prayer at Churchill Downs with the horses, and just I could name, you know, probably 15 more things that we hear about in the last few days in the news. And so we continue on knowing that Jesus is there for every single one of us. The disciples knew that they were in danger, and so their hearts were deeply troubled as they gathered there with Jesus. But more than that physical danger, they were aware of Jesus' words about leaving them. I shared that a minute ago. Just as that man or that person that's got his arm around you, I think of Jesus, I guess that's why I said man, guiding us through that crowd. Can you imagine that presence being taken away? And feel what it would feel like in that situation without that guiding presence of Jesus in your life. The disciples were afraid of that. It struck terror into their hearts. They were afraid that even though they might survive, they would have to go on living without Jesus in their life. And that was absolutely unbearable to them. They could bear to die with him. They could not bear to live or die without him. So as he gathers with them, he says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He tells us that so many places in Scripture, as I said, but it comes to mind, there'll be places in Revelation, as we're studying Revelation on Tuesday mornings, that talks about that too. No matter what happens around you, don't let your hearts be fearful. There was a time in my life that I'm sure that I let heart trouble consume me as well. I don't know about you. And I thought about these words, and as I think back to different things in my life, it came really ever present to me with tremendously new significance when I was in the midst of that particular struggle. Maybe the same for you. Maybe you didn't think about it quite so much when things were going okay, but when you were struggling, it became very significant, those words. I truly saw something that in that simple phrase, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," that I had never seen before. What impressed me were the words, "Do not let." Think about that for a moment, "Do not let." They mean that these disciples could do something about their problem. They held their own hands, in their hands, the key to their release from heart trouble. It was possible for them to either let it happen or to not let it happen. Our Lord is saying this to all of us. There's a way out of this heart difficulty, this distress, this fear concerning both death and life. And our Lord goes on to give the answer to these folks. And he's sharing it with you this morning as well. The remedy for heart trouble is contained in the two phrases that follow. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in God, who is still in control, who knows what he's doing, who's capable of exercising infinite wisdom, infinite power, and infinite love. Can you imagine if we had total control, the mess we would make of things? Thank you, Jesus, for taking control. The trust that Jesus wants us to have for him is the trust he's calling us out on this morning, the trust that we need to share. It's easy to say, "I trust," until bad times or struggling times come about. It's easy to say, I trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. He doesn't say, jump in there and point out when you want to go a different direction. He said, let me direct your path and I'll show you the way. But you got to trust me. You got to trust me. Why are we not to be troubled when all the difficulties that we face are just put right point blank there? How can we avoid those troubled feelings? Jesus tells us that the root of the issue is faith. There's a battle in all of our hearts to choose between anxiety and faith. It's really hard not to have anxiety sometimes, isn't there? But I know Tiffany would tell you the same, and probably Amy and several other of you that have had a little medical training, that I know when I was going through my training, one of the first things they said to us is, and you know, we get real anxious when we've got somebody sick and we've had the ambulances on the way and we're motioning them in, hurry, hurry, hurry. And they seem to be taking their good old time. They're not running, they're walking. And there's a very good reason for that. Because, first of all, you can bet your boots, as they're walking up there, they're thinking about the first, second, and third thing they're going to do when they get their hands on you. But second of all, you start running and the adrenaline starts flowing. And pretty soon you can't think straight. And you can't make the important decisions that need to be made in that instantaneous moment. So the adrenaline rush is a real thing, folks. Whether you're going to an emergency medical situation or whether you're just going about your daily life and you see those stresses present themselves before you, you can either present these before God, make a breath prayer and say, Jesus, help me. Lord, help me make the right decision. Lord, direct me in the right way. Lord, give me the answers. Direct my hands, direct my mouth, my words. Or we can just go about it and just kind of lose our cool and not really be able to be of any help to anybody. You know. We have to keep a cool head. And we have to listen. We have to pay attention. Because the first thing you do when you're on a scene is you make sure that the scene is secured and it's safe. And Mike knows all about that too. Many of you do. You got to make sure the scene is safe before you enter in. So it gives you just a second to say, Lord, help me. Lord, direct my path. Lord, I know this person needs prayer. Help me to be brave enough to come up to them and grab their hand and say, let's pray together. Let's worship together. They may not look like us. They may not act like us. They may be somebody you've never seen before. But I've had people testify to me that they've had some stranger walk up and say, it's on my heart, I need to pray for you today. What a blessing that is, when somebody prays for you. I know in the day and age we live in, sometimes that might be a little unnerving, but it takes bravery to go up and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? Or even, you're in my prayers. I can sense there's something going on in your life today. What can I do? I can pray. That's a choice. And in this year, we can be asked to pray. And in this year, Satan can be saying, oh, but that's going to be embarrassing if they turn you down. He's going to be chitter-chattering right in that other ear saying, oh, that's probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea. What if they just punch you or something because you're right up there and they feel like you've invaded their space? What if they get really angry? What if, what if, what if, what if? It takes bravery to do some of those things, to step out in faith, to step out of our comfort zones and be those hands and feet of Christ even in the face of places that we haven't been before. Why aren't we to be troubled because Jesus says not to be? Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus' words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we know the way to the Father because we know Jesus. He is the way. The better we get to know Jesus, the surer we are going to be of the eternal destiny. For it's through Jesus and Jesus alone that we can come to the Father. And we can experience all that was shared in those scriptures in John 14 this morning. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. How comforting is that? He's not leaving us. He's not going to take his arm off our shoulder. He's not going to quit being our guide. He's going to take us wherever we need to be. And even though you might feel like the crowds are rushing in on you, he's pushing them back all the way. And he's guiding you through that time that you're facing right now. Lastly, did you remember when I read you verse 12 of chapter 14? What's even more astonishing, those who believe in Jesus are going to do even greater works than the works that Jesus did. It's so hard for us to imagine that. But we do it because we are empowered by him. Because he is in us and wants to work through us. And so if you allow him to use you as a vessel, you will be able to do those greater things as well. So trouble flees, how? Through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus' promise of his Father's house. In what way can we be sure of this eternal promise? By knowing Jesus himself. What sort of confidence does this lead us to? Doing even greater things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This community needs this church. This community needs you. You are the church. The building is where we come, but you are the church. And the church has a mission, and there is a plan. And there is a task, and there is ministry to do. And just as passionate as we were about our kids this morning being up here, we need to support them and encourage their walk, and someday their children's walk that will continue on through the ministries of this church. And so we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts today. Because he says, do not fear and let not your hearts be troubled. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Oh, Lord. You are the living stone and cornerstone of our faith. And we thank you for helping us to be built into those spiritual houses and a holy priesthood. Let us open ourselves to you, Lord, today, the master builder, the one who has the grand plan, the one who we are but vessels to be used by. Lord, we open ourselves up to you this day. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion in just a few minutes together, and what a perfect time. Lord, as we have an opportunity to pray at the altar, as we take communion, as we celebrate all that you have done to forgive us for our sins, of our sins, past, present, future. Not the sins of our neighbor, do we worry about? We worry about our own sins. We'll each stand before your throne of grace someday and be accountable for the decisions that we have made. And so we are thankful, Lord, that for each and every person, you have gone to the cross and suffered and shed your blood, that we are all forgiven people. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to discern each day and listen each day for your voice and make the right decisions. And on the days that we don't, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Empower us and use us as your creations. We love you, and we pray that we can honor you with all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let our choir bless us with a song this morning. going to celebrate Holy Communion together. We're going to do it like we've done it the last couple of months. Alice and I will stand down here, and if you want to come up the center aisles and go back to your seats by the side aisles, that will work wonderfully. If you'd like to stop and pray, the altar is open for that, and we would love to have you spend some time there praying. We are going to sing this hymn today while people are filing up, 357. It's going to be on your screen, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. So I think that will be appropriate, and if it ends before, then we'll just start over again, Melissa. And if anybody does not feel able to walk up, we will serve you. We will come right to you at the end. So we'll ask for a raise of hands, and at the end, Karen and Hollis can take it back to whomever and then come around to Melissa. And so don't worry about not being able to come up. We will serve you. Let us bow and pray over these elements. Lord, we ask that you bless these elements today. Bless them, Lord, to us. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. Because of what you have done for us, Lord, let us celebrate this each and every time that we get the opportunity. Let us celebrate together the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, that we might be able to spend eternity with you, that our sins are forgiven in it. It, even in all of our mistakes and all of our failures and all of our faults, that it qualifies us because of what you did, bridging that gap for us. We give you thanks and praise. All honor and glory be yours, Lord. Amen and amen. And I want you to know that you can come and celebrate communion, whether you're a member of this church, whether you have just walked in and have never been here before in your life. The only requirement is that we know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that he has died to forgive our sins. You are welcome to partake in this. The body of Christ that these little squares represent, the body of Christ that was broken for every single one of us. Jesus shared the meal with his disciples, and he offered them this offering. And he gave thanks to the Father, and he said to his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so today we do this in remembrance of what Christ has done for us. And when that meal was over, he took the cup and he lifted it and again gave thanks and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant. I'm making all things new. I'm doing something different now. And so my shed blood forgives your sins. Do this as often as you drink it," he said. "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we do. And we get to celebrate today together in this place. Would you grab my stool first? Just grab the stool and bring it down. Thank you. You are invited to Christ's table.
Thank you.
we've missed? Anyone that would either raise a hand, they'll come to you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to remember how important this is for us. We give you thanks and praise for each one here, every home that's represented, every family, every place, every person. In Jesus' name, amen. We will now ask our ushers to come forward that we might have our morning tithes and gifts before the Lord. God of overflowing abundance, you feed our spirits with spiritual milk and nourish our souls with heavenly food. You are our fortress and our rock when the snares of this world threaten to overwhelm us. In gratitude for your mercy and your many blessings, we offer you our gifts and our ministries that a wounded world might know your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our hymn books or look on the screen, The Church's One Foundation, 545. And remember, we would love to have you join with us downstairs for fellowship. There's lots of food, I've been instructed. You are all invited to stay. Come down to Wesley Hall and have lunch. Amen and amen. Let's read our responsive benediction. Once we were not a people. Once our souls were parched from thirst. Once our hearts were troubled. Now we rest secure. Amen and amen. Let's close with Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Join us for fellowship downstairs.